Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today.
Developer Par Tolls of the Tolls Development Company.
For the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Par Tolls. He's the head of Tolls Development Company. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam.
We've had some interesting shows this week already talking about the boom that Reno is in and Northern Nevada in general. And you have been adding to this because... you just put together a giant package, $16.5 million, seven properties, planning to invest another $1.5 million on those properties and improvements. And it's all in the hottest area of the close to downtown, which is called Midtown. And why did you dive into the... Well, first of all, why did the owner want to sell? Was it just time to cash out?
Yeah, I think you had two owners. You had the Carter brothers, Bernie and Tim. They've done the post office and then... this new development sticks in Midtown and then had renovated a number of older properties. And then Tom Johnson had renovated the old Maytan Music Building just around the corner from Sticks on Cheney Boulevard across from Death of Taxes and some other hot eateries. I think they were to the point where they'd done some good work. They'd kind of gotten it to second base. And it was an off-market deal. It was great. I mean, we had become friends. And
what do you mean by that off-market deal?
He didn't list it with a broker and try to sell it. He came to me and my partner on this deal, the Marmont Companies, Eric Radin, and said, I really want to keep this local. It's time for me to move on. I like what you guys have been doing downtown. The Radin brothers had done about 150 units in Midtown, residential units. I'd done a number of things downtown. And came to us and said, you're the next phase of development. I like what you're doing, and we'd love to just sell this to you without going to market if we can come to a price that works. And we did.
So are you looking at this as a long-term deal? Are you looking at this as, you know, a midterm deal?
I think, you know, we answer to our investors. And so my underwriting and what I showed the investors were, I think we have a five-year horizon, but we'll be opportunistic. But we're also going to be good stewards and caretakers of the property. We're not in a buy it and flip type mentality. We care about what's happening in Midtown. I think if we do a good job in Midtown, it will continue to spread. The dominoes will fall, and we'll continue to have a town or an area of town that I like to compare to San Luis Obispo, the Pearl District, Midtown in Sacramento. You've seen these intermediary type of developments in near larger downtowns that have become millennial college hangouts, very pedestrian friendly. They have soul. You know, I kind of view the reason that some of the mall and the retail experiences at the mall, they're kind of soulless. You have to go there for certain reasons, but they're getting dinged by online shopping. But the Midtowns of the world, they have character, they're unique, they have an edge to them. And people want to go down there and experience it.
And for those listening in Southern Nevada, I mean, you could certainly compare the developments that are going on close to downtown. That's a very exciting development area there as well, the Container Park and all the other things that right. Tony Hsieh has been involved in, with $350 million investment so far. It's also, you know, on the edge of another huge development, which is the redevelopment of Park Lane Mall. Again, a vast area, probably, what, a $1 billion project?
Right. And I was going to mention that. I mean, another reason we got excited about this is we felt like there were two great bookends. There was Park Lane Mall, which I'm a consultant on, and then downtown. And you have this in between. You're going to have 1,500 to 1,700 units, so 3,000 to 4,000 people living in Park Lane Mall. And then with everything that's happening downtown, we're in the heart of what's in between. And I don't see that we can go wrong on owning property there for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, and according to John Decree, maybe as much as 20 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and also now with Carano's fully invested in the downtown area, you know, there's no reason why you're going to go from the university all the way to Park Lane Mall without stopping.
Yeah, agreed. And I'm going to bring up San Luis Obispo again. My wife was there, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Very similar to the stage that Midtown is now. You go to San Luis Obispo now, it is on fire. It's walkable. There are just great, unique stores. There's a few nationals that have come in, but solely they're more locals. And it is active day and night. And I look at Midtown today and I say, we can be like that. I don't want to pattern ourselves exactly off of that, but we can. There's a lot of similarities, and I think we're on our way to being that style of downtown.
One of the biggest issues, obviously, with Midtown is parking. You've got a giant open area. Are you planning to put some kind of parking garage, something like that, on there? I know that you and I have talked privately, and that Uber and Lyft are big in your language these days.
Right. I'll answer it two ways. One way is I had the chance to spend some time with Rick Caruso, who's a very well-known developer in Southern California, developed The Grove. And he used a great term. He said, we're trying to create a frictionless experience when you come shopping at the Grove, where it's just fluid. Everything is patterned after exactly what a shopper may need or want at their certain time within the shopping center. Midtown's not frictionless. It's got some friction, and parking, you can't roll right up all the time to where you want to go park and walk in. And I think that's okay. I think we need to get used to parking a block or two away and walking to where you want to go. At the same time, I think we can help that from a parking standpoint and make it a little easier to get to these certain stores. So our plan is to do some sort of parking element next to Midtown Eats, a 2 or 3 story parking garage, and do some residential on top and potentially a little bit more retail. But I think it's one of the best lots, I think, in the downtown area. We want to be very careful about what we build there, but I think we do need to providing easier access to our tenants and to the shoppers that come downtown.
And I think Blake Smith has given some good examples of what can be done, as well as Barney Carter.
No question. I mean, Styx has enough parking to make it work, and they've tenanted it with the right type of eateries and boutique shops that people want to be there. And they'll come and find a parking space, or they'll park a block away and walk, and they're fine.
Well, and, you know, I mean, the reality is you go to San Francisco or any major city, you know, parking is either not available or very expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And by the way, it's a healthier lifestyle if you walk a couple of blocks
to
where you're going.
Put on a coat and hoof it.
You know, it was interesting. I was just in Las Vegas taping some shows a week or so ago, and was over at Town Center, the big shopping mall that's near the airport. Man, that thing has expanded like crazy.
Yeah, it's great to see Nevada on both ends, south and north. We're back. You know, I think we all, from a development standpoint, we all kind of had PTSD for 8 years, and we're now feeling more confident, and people are starting to invest again. I was so pleased, Sam, just in raising money for the last 2 purchases that we made. We bought about $50 million real estate in the last 6 months, both in downtown and Midtown.
50.
50, yeah. And the investors want to be in Reno. And before, I think if you tried to access this type of capital, 3 to 5 years ago, it would have been very hard to do. But Reno's on the map. People want to invest when they see the opportunity and they like the story. The money has not been real challenging to raise.
You know, and it's interesting because there are a lot of unannounced deals already in the pipeline.
Yeah. Yeah. It's active. And I think we as a development community need to be careful. I mean, we're developers are kind of like sheep sometime. And when it gets active, we all rushed and build. I think this is different. And I've heard it a number of times on your shows. I think we have a sustainable economy, very different from 2006. The jobs are real. The population growth is real. These are not we're not building homes and apartments hoping people will move here. We're trying to meet a demand that's already here.
Yeah, I mean, that in itself is stunning that you need. Edon has been talking about 50,000 new homes. I think that's conservative.
I do too. And I, again, a little PTSD, I didn't believe it at first. And I think we've been very cautious in the development and construction community about, you know, do we really stick a shovel in the ground here? But when you start seeing the vacancies at 1% for apartments, and you start seeing office now turn into single digits in the industrial at the lowest vacancy since 2006, almost at 5% right now and dropping, you have to start to believe. And I think the development community is building carefully, but they're doing the right things.
All right, let's take a break. More with Part Tolles when we come back.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're talking with developer Par Tolles of the Tolles Development Company. He's been a longtime developer for other companies until the last couple of years, and now has branched out on his own and with, as he's mentioned earlier, $50 million worth of investments so far in the last year or so. So let me ask you this. I know that there's a lot of private money coming into the marketplace. There's private money in the market, but there's also private money, especially from Southern California, up in Incline Village, coming into the marketplace. How are the banks responding? Are the banks also looking to invest, or are they looking for more like hotel casino type operations or bigger corporation type operations?
No, I think the banks, you know, the bank that we've used and the banks that we've talked to for deals that we're looking at now, no, they're very interested in commercial development, but they're cautious. I mean, you have to have the right kind of credit behind it. You have to have either your property pre-leased or there has to be a good story. And I use that term a lot. I mean, both the private investors and banks, they want to know a story. Why is this going to work? And prove to me in this conversation, as you try to sell me your deal, why this makes sense and why it has merit. And I think that's a little bit different than the way it was back in 2006, where it was just trying to get money out the door as quickly as they could. And I appreciate that. At times, it's frustrating from a developer because you believe in it so much, and having to prove it over and over again can be a little frustrating. But I think I found the banks to be cautious, but be motivated. And I think it's a healthy relationship right now between development and lending.
Is the cost of money too cheap at this point in time?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's going up, you know.
But tiny amounts.
Tiny amounts. I'm biased. I'm biased in my answer to you. But I think it's at a rate that's cheap. What's more frustrating is construction costs. And I think that's what we're really wrestling with right now. We have 3 or 4 developments in the pipeline, and really trying to value engineer what we want to build to make the numbers work is what's most challenging. Construction, you know, I've heard your statistics back in 2006 where the construction population was, and it hasn't come back. And we are fighting for more subcontractors. There's good, solid contractors that made it through the recession that are here, but subs and labor are very tough to find, and it's affecting costs.
Well, and it's just getting worse with the fires in California and the thousands of homes that have been lost, and then Houston, Florida, Puerto Rico. These are all huge opportunities for construction companies, and, you know, it's going to take a lot in competition to get those people to come here.
Yeah, it was tough before the hurricane. That's kind of what started this series of disasters that is going to affect. And we haven't felt the full impact yet, but we will. And so we're fighting for labor. We're going to have to fight even harder over the next 12 to 24 months.
It's funny. I've been looking at the stock prices for Home Depot and Lowe's, thinking that they're going to start shooting up, and they haven't so far, which is kind of interesting.
I don't know why, because I would agree with you.
So, you know, obviously with growth comes potential problems. You know, as you brought up earlier, people having places to live, if they can find a place, can they afford it? The home prices are just going through the roof. Do you, you know, what's your time frame for seeing that at least leveling off? Because I don't see it going backwards for quite a while.
Answer your question two ways. I get a little frustrated with the development community or with the perception of the development community that affordability is our problem. If you look back to where we were in 2006, our apartment pricing and our residential pricing is back to where we were 10 years ago. And now they're saying it's unaffordable. I think more than anything, Sam, we have a wage problem more than an affordability problem. And if you talk to Edon, they're doing a better job of now really trying to attract higher paying jobs. But if you continue to bring in a sea of people that are making low wages, then we're going to build, you know, a sea of apartments to try to accommodate these people. So there needs to be a holistic approach to our economy in the sense of, okay, we did a great job over the last 10 years of solving our unemployment problem. And you've talked at length about the Tesla effect, and I won't repeat it, but we've created a lot of manufacturing jobs. Now we've gone to skilled manufacturing. Now we really need to focus more on engineering. I won't go through the list, but higher paying jobs that can balance out the large population of low paying jobs that we've created.
You know, and that's a fascinating point. And I have to go back and say that, you know, 10 years ago, we were looking actually more like 11, 12 years ago. We didn't have enough housing. And people were lining up at 5-6 o'clock in the morning just to get in line to put their name on the list to buy a home. And that's why those prices peaked out. And they are actually higher than they are now at the height of that market before the crash came. But part of that was also caused, as we know, by people breathing on a mirror and fogging it up and getting the loan.
That's right. And so I've made my point on the wage. I will say we as developers, as we look, particularly in the Midtown area, as we look at taking down motels that are really blighted properties. But there is a working poor that we need to be mindful of, and we need to be compassionate and careful about displacement. And I had lunch yesterday with the director of HOPES and had a very healthy conversation on how we can, the development community can partner with HOPES and other organizations that are helping the working poor. And there's not a perfect answer to it, but we need to be thinking about it. We need to help people find them places to live if we're going to redevelop certain areas. And you'll find a lot of the developers in my community feel the same way.
All right, let's take a break. And we're coming up with more with Par Tolles after this.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with developer Par Tolles of the Tolles Development Company. You're working in downtown with a business improvement district. Tell us what the goals are of that.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. And it's been in the works for a while, but it's been a wonderful public-private partnership between downtown property owners and the city. I could spend the rest of the segment on this, so I'll talk quickly. But there's a special assessment district that is now turning into a business improvement district, which will be a nonprofit 501c3 run company that will use the special assessment district monies to hire 13 to 15 ambassadors and caseworkers to be present downtown. And what it does is it allows the police to do police work, and they will now start to work and interact more heavily with the social problems downtown. It's worked in Sacramento, Spokane, Boise, I think it is the most important and impactful thing that we will do downtown in the last 10 years and going forward. We have 1991 funding levels for our police. They deserve to not have to be off the street for 2 hours when they take care of an inebriant. Now these ambassadors, it's amazing. When I was down in Sacramento, they know how many homeless are downtown. They know their names. They have they keep data collection in the sense of who their relatives are. So when there's a problem, they can call those people, help them before they have to involve the police. And it should be, if done right, Sam, severely in a good way, move the needle downtown and helping clean up and help some of the less fortunate that we have there.
And one of the ironies was when they built the Tri-Properties and they built bridges so you could go seamlessly from El Dorado, Silver Legacy to Circus Circus. That was very good internally, but it took people off the street. So you didn't have that walking traffic between the properties. And so therefore, your homeless population stands out like a sore thumb because you don't have the regular population as you would, say, in San Francisco, where you also have a homeless problem, but you also have thousands of people milling on the streets.
I've used that analogy. I call it makeup. We don't have human makeup. And if you go to downtown San Francisco, there's a huge homeless problem, but you do have a lot of coat and ties on the street that you don't see. In a gaming type environment, they do stand out. And that's, I'm not playing the belittle. We need to help them, but we also need to make downtown a more walkable place, and we need to make it a more safe and clean place, and that's what the Business Improvement District will do.
Are you seeing some of the owners, because, you know, people still say to me, I go downtown and I see, you know, a lot of blight still. But a lot of this is because people that own those properties, you know, have not agreed on a plan that makes sense to sell those properties and have them redeveloped. Are you seeing a change in attitude there? We've only got about a minute left.
Yeah, quickly, I'm seeing the university move towards, you know, move south towards the business district. I'm seeing the business district move north towards university. It will happen, and those bookends will get closer. Have I seen the really tough areas start to move and trade? I haven't, but I would guess in the next 36 to 48 months, you're going to start to see some of that just because I think the demand is there, and downtown is becoming a place now that people want to put their money.
We need an Apple store in downtown Reno.
I've heard you say that like five times. I'm waving the flag.
Portals, congratulations on a fantastic last year here for development, and I know there's lots more coming in the pipeline, and we'll have you back to talk about it all. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll be right back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
As always, you can download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes. It's a great way to listen to Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you on the next broadcast.